Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Right, hopes are high with Everton fans that tomorrow there might be some sort of announcement regarding a brand new stadium down at Bramley Moor Dock. Hopes are high with you, Quayle, Mark Quayle.
Yeah, a new era, hopefully, yeah. And stronger foundations going forward.
Lots of expectation about it. Let's talk to a man who knows all about putting the infrastructure in place and what it would mean financially to the football club. Of course, a football finance expert, Professor Tom Cannon. Morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Have you got any indication that something might be on the horizon?
Well, I think we've all heard the same rumours. We've all heard the same positive statements by the mayor, starting, I think, at the AGM of the club. So I think everybody's pretty optimistic and the mayor seems to be very positive. And clearly with a new investor in the club and generally positive feelings around the club, I think Bramley Moor seems to me ideal, and it was good for the club and it would also be good for the city.
Tom, give us an idea of how this stadium would be funded. The money isn't directly coming out of Farhad Moshiri's pocket, is it?
Well, he's already made an interest-free loan to the club, which has basically written off most of the club's old debts, which we're paying a large amount of interest on. But there are probably four elements. Clearly, the club, like all clubs, will be looking for some kind of naming rights. And I would have thought a naming rights deal for someone like Everton would be worth probably £50 million. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't go to some kind of bond issue. Bond issues are very popular at the moment, particularly for long-term investments. And the University of Liverpool, for example, had a very successful bond issue about a year ago, and that was very much based on the fact that the football club and the university have one thing in common, besides both being schools of science, which is basically that they both have very, very long-term strategies, and a bond issue is an obvious way. And then I think the other element, there's almost certainly going to be an injection of capital through the club by Mr. Moshiri, and I think they're going to be the key elements.
Tom, do you see this as heralding a big change in Everton's future with the ground itself? I mean, I know we talk about the money that's coming into the Premier League and what it's done for clubs, but is this the step that we need to take as a club?
Absolutely. I mean, don't forget, the club as it stands has a number of major problems with the old lady. I mean, you know, we all love her and we've been going there for more years than we care to remember. But the truth of the matter is there are lots of restrictions, lots of obstructed views. And if you just take the area in which most clubs make an awful lot of their money these days, which is in the executive facilities, I mean, the club has, I think, 11 executive boxes compared to Manchester United, who I think have close on 300 executive boxes. The new standard Anfield has a whole number of executive boxes. And facilities like they have at the new Anfield, which is basically, if you go, for example, to the chairman's lounge or the director's lounge, you know, there's £25,000 a season that seats in there. And that's the kind of income generation which those kind of executive and business facilities can create. If, of course, at the same time, you're delivering success on the field.
Mm. How does the club come to a decision on how many seats it puts in a brand new stadium? Because I think fans would just go, oh, get as many as you possibly can. Put 60,000 in there. Well, make it as big as you can. But actually, is it... down to finite detail as far as the club is concerned? Will they have researched this to the greatest depth, Tom?
Immense research will have gone into it. For example, nobody wants a ground where there are lots of empty seats. One of the great things about both Anfield and Goodison over the years is you never get a game, or certainly not in the last 20 or so years, where, you know, the camera pans around and sees lots of empty seats. Mm. And there's a ground not far from Goodison Park, certainly not far from Liverpool, where you see that all too often. And it's a new ground and you see empty seats often at big games. No one wants that. The other side of the matter is that if you have empty seats, it's wasted space. Mm. I think the club will be looking for something in the region of 50 to 55,000 seats, probably no more than that. And that would be on the generous side, because it's a long time since we've got crowds in the 50s. I mean, I remember being, I think, at Burnley at home when there were 78,000. Mm. And a lot of people were standing around that day and being passed around, the carried over people. But the truth of the matter is the club will have researched that. Also, the structure of the seating is very important. Mm. Because nowadays there's far more regulation. One of the things that happened in recent years, quite rightly, is far more facilities for the disabled. Mm. So the club has to balance all those interests, and that's what they'll be doing through the research.
Would you anticipate any kind of reduction or freezing of ticket prices if the capacity was to increase to that level?
I think freezing ticket prices is something the club has pioneered. Don't forget, they were one of the first clubs to introduce freezes on ticket prices. I think Everton, and certainly the chief executive, Robert Elston, I know, is very committed to making attendance available to all. Mm. And I think you will get the kind of care and attention which he, Bill and Mashiri all want to make sure that actually it's not just about the current generation or, in a sense, the prawn sandwich brigade. Yeah. They're very committed to making sure 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds can go to the match with their family. And that's the structure of the ticketing. And I think the club's been incredibly progressive in that in the past.
I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how much people are charged, but how much the corporates are charged as well. I mean, Tom mentioned there, didn't he, just how much people at Anfield are paying. There's a certain level in which businesses will be paying at Goodison now, and I suppose the club has to try and retain that body of people and attract a new sort of breed of commercial clientele into there as well. Is that right? That's right, Tom, isn't it?
Absolutely, but there's a good thing about the city. The city is buoyant at the moment. I mean, wherever you look around the city, you see new developments, you see new companies moving into the greater Merseyside region. And it's not just within the city of Liverpool, it's right across in the Wirral in North Wales, all the traditional catchment areas of Everton and Liverpool, of course. But the reality is that growth in the business base is going to pay into this. And, of course, the truth of the matter is football remains this incredibly commercial and marketable item globally. And therefore, you know, it's not just the local businesses, it's not just the regional businesses, it's the national and international businesses who basically want to take their guests and entertain at giant facilities such as we've got increasingly across the region. Of course, the great example in the near future is the Grand National, but it's football is the cutting edge of marketing globally these days.
So they should be able to raise the cash. Remember when Sunderland built the Stadium of Light and it was rumoured it cost 120 or 130 million for their whole stadium? How much does it cost to build a football stadium these days?
Well, you'd be lucky to get a new stadium for less than 200 million. I think you're talking 200 to 250 million, especially if you wanted to be a prestige, symbolic stadium, a stadium which symbolises the ambitions of the club and, of course, the ambitions of the city.
Mm. And do they have to be completely transparent with all the finance on it? Will that be a demand? Or you would know this, Tom. Will there be a way in which we can completely understand the financial structure of it all, the framework?
UEFA look very, very closely at these things nowadays, because all part of financial fair play is where you can actually spend money. And in order to, in a sense, ensure you're complying with financial fair play and not, in a sense, losing money you're spending on players in aspect of the facilities, then basically it has to be very transparent. UEFA demanded, if you want to get that magic license to play in Europe. And, of course, Everton's ultimate ambition is to be playing regularly in the Champions League, so that will have to be done.
Tom, brilliant. Thank you very much indeed for cluing us up on that one. Speak again soon.
Cheers, Tom.
Good to speak to you both.
Thank you. That's Professor Tom Cannon, Professor Football Finance Expert as well. Well, he's given us a little bit of an idea there. Financially, 250 million? I thought it might cost even more than that.
Well, you know, I think he's put us in the ballpark, and I think we just spoke off air about Liverpool spending 100 million just on one stand. So I know that comes with its own complications, and a lot of the cost is swallowed up by working within a tight frame that Liverpool had to do. So a blank canvas is perhaps, you know, pound for pound, you will get better value for money building a completely new ground on a new site, I suppose.
I wonder what year that was where he was talking about that Burnley game, 78,000.
I'm glad you didn't ask him. No, he wouldn't have appreciated that.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Quayle, thank you very much. Cheers. Indeed. This is Radio City Talk.